So we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. First chapter, text number 23 and 24. Text number, we'll do together text number 23, and then I read the verse and translation, and text number 24 also. Yochamanan avekshe ham ya ete atra samagataha dartarashtrasya durbudher yudhe priyam chikirshavaha yochamanam avekshaham ya ete atra samagataha Dhatarashtrasya durbudher yude priya chikirshavaha yochamanam avekshaham ya ete atra samagataha Dhatarashtrasya durbudher yudhe priya chikirshavaha yachamanam avekshaham ya ete atra samagataha dhatarashtrasya durbudher yudhe priya chikirshavaha yachamanam. Those who will be fighting, avekshe, let me see, ekam, I, ye, who, ete, those, atram, here, samagatam, assembled, dartarashtrasyam, for the son of Dhritarashtra, Durbude, evil-minded, Yudhe, in the fight, Priya, well, Chikirshavam, wishing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, let me see those who have come here to fight, wishing to please the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. Purport, it was an open secret that Duryodhana wanted to usurp the kingdom of the Pandavas by evil plans, in collaboration with his father, Dhritarashtra. Therefore, all persons who had joined the side of Duryodhana must have been birds of the same feather. Arjun wanted to see them on the battlefield before the fight was begun, just to learn who they were. But he had no intention of proposing peace negotiations with them. It was also a fact that he wanted to see them to make an estimate of the strength which he had to face. Although he was quite confident of victory because Krishna was sitting by his side. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyanan Janasarakaya Chakshuran Militam Yanam Dasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sabadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padagamalan Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sirupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastade Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshali Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Banchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yuchamanan avikshe ham ya ete atra samagataha. Dhatrashtrasya durbudher yudhe priya chikir shavaha. So here Arjuna is speaking to Krishna. And so he's expressing that he wants to see, let me see those who have come here to fight, wishing to please the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is coming once in the day of Lord Brahma to perform his wonderful pastimes, especially the pastimes in Braj that are most wonderful and most sweet. In order to attract the fallen conditioned souls. So the name Krishna also means attractive, most attractive. Krishna is most beautiful, most attractive. Especially in Braj, he's most attractive. Because there, he's surrounded by his most beloved devotees, all the Brijavasis who have pure love for Krishna. Without reservation, without own reverence. So that is the most wonderful exchange, and especially with the gopis. So then Krishna is most attractive, most beautiful. So he's performing his wonderful pastimes in Braj to attract the conditioned souls. But then there is also necessity to give transcendental knowledge, basic transcendental knowledge. So for that purpose, so he left Braj and he came to Mathura, and then he stayed for some time in Mathura, and then he came to Dwarka, and from time to time he came to Hastinapura, and there, so, for the benefit of the fallen conditioned souls, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, actually for our benefit. But Arjuna is nimitta matra, so is the instrument. And through him, so we are actually fortunate to get this transcendental knowledge. First of all, we have to understand that we are not this body, that we are spirit soul. So the first instructions are there in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The first, most important, Dehinus min yatha dehe kaumaram javaram jara tatha dehanta praptir diras tatra anamuyati. So the embodied soul passes from Kaum Ramjo Ramjara, Kaumar Avastha, from the childhood, boyhood, to Yovanam, to youth, and then, of course, adulthood is there, and then Jara, old age. And then we have to give up this body and then enter another body according to our consciousness, to our desires, and according to our activities. So that is known as Sambandha Gyan, that we have to know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. And that we are in this material world, which is a miserable place, ultimately. Janma mritu jara vyadi. So we take birth, and that is not very pleasant when one has to take birth in this world. It is painful for the mother and the child. So it is mentioned, even the mother will cry so much that she will at that time say, "Oh, never again I will become pregnant and give birth." So, but then due to the Rirje energy stall still, she will get pregnant again. And so it is painful, and for the child also. And then, so already in the womb, when the child is in the womb, this painful situation in the womb. And then coming out, and so. Then growing up, of course, some happiness is there in the material world, but that is very flickering. And then diseases are there, difficulties from other living entities. And then old age, so, which is a difficult situation also, when one cannot see properly, not hear properly, walking becomes difficult. So, but the Lord is very merciful, and He wants to free the conditioned souls. And He wants to bring them to the spiritual kingdom where they actually belong to. Jiveda Surupahoi Krishnaira Nittadas. So the living entities by nature, the servants of Krishna. But due to coming to this material world, so they are conditioned and forgetful of the Lord, they are struggling and their suffering is there. So, of course, some happiness is there, but it is very temporary. Chanchal Sukh. Some happiness is there, then again some distress and some happiness. But that is not the real life. The real life is in God consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, when one is serving Krishna, especially on the transcendental platform, on the liberated platform. So, but first we have to understand our position, and then we have to try to become liberated by following the instructions of the Lord, as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, under the guidance of the spiritual master. So, and then by practicing, then we become more and more aware of the presence of the Lord in everyone's heart, in our heart, and one will understand His presence in the spiritual world. He is ever present there. But from time to time He is coming to this world to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. So 5,000 years ago He came and so to speak this Bhagavad Gita. So here, as we know, so, Arjun, one of the five Pandavas, friend, very dear friend of Krishna, so they're related also, belonging to Krishna's family, or the Yaduvamsa. But they are very close friends. So, at the same time, Arjuna, he was aware that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Pandavas, they are supposed to rule the kingdom. But his cousins, the Pandavas' cousins, the sons of Dhritarashtra, they wanted to rule. As we know, Dhritarashtra was blind, materially speaking, but also spiritually speaking, he was blind. So he was the uncle of the Pandavas. He was the elder brother of the father of the Pandavas, Pandu. So he was supposed to become the king, but because he was blind, he could not be the king. And therefore Pandu, he was enthroned as the king. So he was not happy, Dhritarashtra. He could not accept the fact that due to his being blind, that he was not able to be the king and lead the citizens. But then he wanted his sons, especially his eldest son, Duryodhana, to become the king. And Duryodhana, so he was also envious of the Pandavas. And he was also desiring to become the king. So therefore it is mentioned here, so that the Durbudhe, so Buddhi is there, so intelligence. So everyone has some intelligence, some more and some less. So if one is really intelligent, then he will surrender to Krishna. And then by the Lord's mercy, he will be guided. And then it is known as sadhubuddhi, a transcendental intelligence. But if one is not properly situated in this world, in the human form of life, and not serving God, then he doesn't have transcendental intelligence, then the material intelligence is working. But if one is not following the Vedic principles, the laws of God, and especially then if he's also not even following the moral principles, because everywhere you can see, although people may not be so God conscious, but of course by the Lord's will, ultimately in different even places, so different religious principles will be there according to time, place and circumstances. The Lord so himself is giving religious principles through his different incarnations, or he himself. But then some empowered representatives may be there, like even in the Western world, Jesus Christ. And so, for the benefit of the conditioned souls in the Western countries at that time, so he gave some principles so that they may be situated on the human platform. So first one has to become a human being, proper human being, a good person, sajan, a gentleman or gentlewoman, and then one can actually become a woman. Prabhupada used to say also, first try to become a gentleman, then you can be a good devotee also. So, by use of the intelligence, proper discrimination, and acting properly according to Guru Sadhu Shastra. So, but if one is not following Guru Sadhu Shastra, not even following moral principles, which may be given by saintly persons, even by the government also. The law of the government is there also. And usually should be also under the guidance of the saintly persons, which nowadays is not so much, but still the moral principles are there. So if one is not following the Vedic principles, God-conscious principles, and not even following the moral principles, but acting according to his polluted intelligence, especially under the influence of the mode of passion and ignorance, then his intelligence is known as Durbuddhi. So here Prabhupada is translated as evil-minded. Durbuddhi. So that is not proper intelligence. When one is acting actually sinfully. So as we can see nowadays also, so many persons are there in this world, and they are acting in a very improper way. All the time you can hear and you can, because we have to live, we are living in this world, so we have to know also to some extent what is going on in this world. And so if you just once in a while see some newspaper, internet, the news, mostly the news are actually negative, mostly, in the newspaper. Although everyone wants to have good news, something positive, but many times or mostly the negative news are mentioned there. So, and there you can see that people are killing for money, or even as we know men, nowadays so much harassing women. So, because of durbuddhi, of evil-minded, due to intelligence under the mode of passion and ignorance. So Duryodhana, so he was under the modes of passion and ignorance, and therefore he didn't know what to do and what not to do. So he wanted to, as we know, he wanted to kill. He tried to kill the Pandavas, so that he could become the king. But Mare Krishna Rakke, Rakke Krishna Mareke. If somebody wants to protect, if supposed to die, if Krishna wants to kill somebody, if he's supposed to die, then nobody can protect. But if Krishna wants to protect somebody, then nobody can harm that person. Not possible. So Krishna was protecting his devotees, so they could not harm the Pandavas. It was not possible. So everybody knew, as Prabhupada is also explaining in the purport, it was an open secret that Duryodhana wanted to occupy the kingdom by evil means. Most of the people they knew, but they could not do anything. So, sometimes it is very difficult to understand what is Krishna's plan. Like in this case, Krishna is a friend of Arjuna. They are good friends, and he is the Supreme Lord, all-powerful. So, we would expect that Krishna would have intervened, and in many cases, just like when they were playing dice, one time, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, so as Kshatriyas they were allowed to sometimes play different games. So, but then they were cheating also. Duryodhana and his uncle Shakuni. So they lost everything. And Krishna was there also. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. So sometimes it is difficult to understand Krishna's plan. But he has a plan. And it is always, Krishna's plan is of course always successful. Whatever Krishna wants ultimately will happen. So we have to try to know what is Krishna's plan. and so on. And we should act accordingly. So we should pray to Krishna to give us the intelligence, and of course, therefore the exalted personalities are there, the representative of the Lord, who may help us to understand Krishna's plan. But even sometimes the pure devotees, they may not aware immediately what is Krishna's plan. So even the Pandavas, they were also baffled. They didn't understand what is happening. So that we are forced to leave the kingdom. But they accepted Krishna's plan, and they knew ultimately, so that is Krishna's will, and it is for everyone's good. So Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that all the persons who joined Duryodhana's side, they must have been birds of the same feather. Now we can see that usually the birds, so therefore Prabhupada is explaining here, they're of the same feather. So for example, the parrots, they are together. And then the pigeons, they are together. The crows, they are together. The eagles. So appropriate example is given. The birds of the same feather, they flock together. So Prabhupada is suggesting that there must be the birds, they must be of same mentality as Duryodhana. So must have been, so that means generally, or most of them actually, they were similar to Duryodhana. They were not righteous, and therefore they were all killed. But not all of them that we have to explain and that we have to mention. Like for example, Bhishma Dev. So he was a devotee of the Lord, a great devotee of the Lord. But due to circumstances, because he took a vow that he will stay in Hastinapura his whole life and try to see that everything is going on nicely in Hastinapura, in the kingdom. So he was obliged to be on Duryodhana's side because of his vow. So he couldn't leave. Although he knew that Duryodhana was not acting properly, and Duryodhana's, and Bhishma Dev, he has love for Krishna. He had love for the Pandavas. But he was forced to be on the side of Duryodhana, and it was very difficult for him. Very difficult to be in that situation. But by the will of Providence, he had to be in that situation. And so he was fighting against Krishna. And of course he was a Kshatriya, so he was a fighter, a warrior by nature. And Krishna, so he's a Supreme Lord, and he has so many loving exchanges with his devotees, and relationships with his devotees. And just like in Braj, so the five primary relationships are there. The Shantadasya, Sakya Vatsalya, and Madhurya Ras. In Braj, loving relationship is there. And Krishna, in Braj, he doesn't want to know that he's the Supreme Lord. And he doesn't want the devotees to know. And they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And Krishna is relishing that relationship with Maria Shoda, Nanda Baba, wonderful exchange with his friends. He's embracing them, even the servants. So they are serving Krishna. So socially speaking, they are in lower position, but there's a loving exchange with Krishna. And even the animals, the birds, Krishna is reciprocating with them. They're all having a transcendental, blissful form. And there's a loving exchange. But then there are also seven secondary relationships or moods, rasas, which are there. So one of them is chivalry. So Krishna, he likes to fight sometimes. He has this fighting spirit. And some of his devotees also. So Bhishma Deva is one of them. So he's a warrior by nature. So he likes to fight also. It is natural for him. And Krishna likes to fight. So for that reason also, so he was put in that position, and so he was fighting with Krishna. Although Krishna, he promised that he will not fight. But in order to save Arjun, he broke his promise. And he took up. So he was also promising he will not pick up any weapons, which he didn't do, but he took the wheel of Arjun's chariot, which was stuck in the ground. And he was then rushing towards Bhishma Deva, in this way protecting Arjuna, who was going to lose actually against in the fight with Bhishma. And at this time he was shooting his arrows, Bhishma, with love. So, and they came on Krishna's transcendental form. But of course Krishna is eternal. And he cannot be killed or harmed. And he was feeling just like when we worship the deities, we offer flower petals to the Lord. And those who are staying here, you see every day when there is darshan, you can see so many flower petals are coming because the devotees are offering flower petals on the deities in the air. Sometimes the demigods, they come, they shower flower petals from the flower airplanes on Krishna or the great personalities. And that is very pleasant when the flowers are coming on the body. Or Holi Utsav is here now. So, since Vasant Panchami, the first day of Holi in Braj, going from one village to another village, in a few days it will be in Varshana, on Ashtami Tithi. So that is on 23rd, in 1 week. So then they also throwing colors, and it is mentioned, Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Kavikarna Purna. They were throwing color powder, and then with the syringe, water, and there's a loving exchange. Wonderful. Very pleasant. And then they make balloons also. And somehow they hold them together. And then they throw balloons at each other. They are filled with flower petals. So they throw flowers at each other also, and flower petals. And so flowers are very soft. It's very pleasant then. So he was shooting his arrows, and because he has love for Krishna, although he was shooting the arrows, but he was feeling just like Krishna, just like he would be throwing flowers on him. So the loving exchange was there. So Bhishma Dev, he didn't really want to fight against Krishna and the Pandavas, but he was forced to due to circumstances. So, and even others were there. The great warriors and Kripacharya, he was also one of the spiritual masters. He was reluctant also, but he was also forced to fight against the Pandavas, against Krishna. So sometimes due to circumstances one is put in a situation which is not so pleasant, but we simply have to perform our duty externally and then internally understand that Krishna has a plan, and we should do then our duty, and especially then the main duty, of course, is trying to serve Krishna with one's intelligence, one's words, and all of our senses. So everything has to be engaged in Krishna service, has to be offered to Krishna. But sometimes we may be in a situation which may be difficult for the time being. But we have to go on, and things will be adjusted by Krishna's will. So, but otherwise, so as mentioned here, that most of the other kings who were on Duryodhana's side, they were actually very materialistic, and they were a burden on the earth. So therefore they had to be killed. So Krishna rearranged. So Krishna's plan is always wonderful. And we cannot fathom that plan many times. And our plans, usually they may be nice too. But so that should be also for Krishna's pleasure. If we are planning something for Krishna's pleasure. But we are very insignificant. Our intelligence is, even though it may be spiritual by surrendering to Krishna, but we cannot think of course we may have some big plans of maybe making a big temple and a nice community. So, but in comparison to Krishna's plan, which is a big plan, so our plan is just very insignificant, maybe just a small part of the big plan, of Krishna's plan. Just like a rich person, he may have a desire to make a big community, and then he may divide the project to different qualified persons, and they may do something. So Krishna has a big plan, and then he is empowering his devotees to execute according to his desire. So here Arjuna, he is mentioned, Prabhupada is mentioning, he wanted to see, as explained in the verse also, he wanted to see who is there, with whom he had to fight. So Prabhupada is mentioning that that Arjuna, he didn't have any intention for peace negotiations. He knew that he has to fight, or at some point he was not ready to fight, because he saw that his spiritual masters were there, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, Bhishma Deva, they were his spiritual masters. So it was not proper to fight against them. It is mentioned one should not even offer a verbal argument with the superiors. One may have some different opinion, one may express to the superiors, but in a very humble way, but not arguing. What to speak of fighting? So he was not ready to fight. But then Krishna told him, well, but it is, but you have to fight, because actually by nature you are a kshatriya. You will not be happy to leave the place and just go to the forest and meditate. And it was Krishna's plan, and Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight, so he had to fight. So he understood then also. And so he wanted to see the strength of the opposite side. And Prabhupada is mentioning he was quite confident of victory because Krishna was by his side. So he knew that it was Krishna's plan, and that that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So, and then he was encouraged by Krishna, the Supreme Lord, to fight even against the superiors. So which was difficult for him to do. And also he knew that it will not be easy to fight against Bhishma, Dronacharya. But he knew that it is Krishna's plan, and so therefore he was confident, and he had the courage to fight against even his superiors. Although materially speaking, they were more qualified than Arjuna. Usually the spirit master, even in warfare, is in fighting, so the general is more experienced than the normal soldier. So there were great generals, Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, Kripacharya. So from the ordinary point of view, so Arjuna, he was inferior, he was no match, he was not able to conquer them. But by Krishna's will, Krishna is most expert in all affairs and also in the fighting. So by Krishna's arrangement, so he was able to defeat them. So sometimes during war, of course there are some rules and regulations, even for fighting amongst the Kshatriyas. So for example, if the two parties are there, the warriors are there, and if the weapons, if the one, warrior, if he's losing the weapon, if he has no weapon with him, and on the other side the warrior is there with the weapon, so he is not supposed to kill the opponent, warrior, who has no weapons. So some different rules and regulations are there, and they're supposed to follow. But by Krishna's ultimately arrangement also, the Kauravas, Duryodhana, and all the elders also, Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, they were not following all the rules of proper fighting, and they killed Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu, who was in a helpless situation, and it was not proper. There were seven great warriors, and he was alone. And then they killed him. So because of that also later on, so Krishna, so he is the ultimate permitter, and not even a blade of grass can move without his sanction. So he arranged things so that Arjuna could kill these great warriors. Even Dronacharya and Bhishma Dev was also overcome. But then he could live because he got a boon that he could live this world at his desire when he wanted. So he was not completely killed. But he was so much wounded that he could not fight anymore. But then he was waiting for the auspicious time, Uttarayan, when the sun moves, that is after Makara Sankranti, mid-January, from the southern side to the northern side. The movement of the sun is there as described in the Bhagavatam. So then he was waiting for the auspicious time to leave this world. And he wanted to see Krishna at the time of leaving his body. And that was granted. So he gave some final instructions also to Yudhishthir, because it was clear that the Pandavas would win. So he gave some instructions to Yudhishthir how to take care of the kingdom, how to rule. So valuable instructions. And then he was glorifying all the devotees of the Lord. And he glorified Krishna. So even he, Bhishma Dev, lying on the bed of arrows just before leaving the body, he glorified the gopis of Braj as the greatest devotees of the Lord. So and then finally, so in front of Krishna and the Pandavas, he left this world. So this war was really a big war, the biggest war in recent history. So many soldiers were there, and then so many were killed. Only few left on both sides. Only very few left. So that was ultimately all Krishna's arrangement to relieve the burden of the earth by so many materialistic persons. But at the same time, so giving wonderful instructions to the fallen conditioned souls, so that they can understand the nature, their spiritual nature, and being different from the gross and subtle material body, as spiritual being, and having a relationship with the Supreme Being, the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and then encouraging the conditioned souls to be fully dedicated to the Supreme Lord. Sadadam Kirtan Tamam, always chant my name. So we should always chant Krishna's name. So then, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then telling also Arjuna that Man Manamabhavad Bhaktoma Jajimam Namaskuru. Always think of me, offer your obeisances to me, Namaskuru, worship me. So then you will come to me. And also he's saying, Sarva Dharman Parijaja Mam Ekam Saranam Vaja Aham Tam Sarva Pabebhyo Mukshishami Masuchaha. Give up all religion and just surrender unto me. So one may think that, well, first he's speaking about religion, we should be religious, follow religion. And then he's saying, give up all religion. How this is possible? So, because there are different forms of religion. But real religion, that means serving Krishna. Jaiva Dharma, Jivka Dharma, Paro Dharma, the supreme religion, occupational duty of the living entity, that is serving Krishna with love and devotion. So, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So you come to me, you do what I want you to do. And then the other kinds of religion which is there, that is Naimittika Dharma. That which is there for some time. So just like, for example, Vana Ashram, or some moral codes which are there, which we have to follow. But if Krishna is not in the center, if one is not serving Krishna, the Supreme Lord, then Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, they are simply a useless, ultimately, waste of labor, of work. So therefore one has to serve Krishna and do what Krishna wants, according to Krishna's desire. So that is most important. So he's encouraging the conditioned souls to surrender unto him and do what he wants us to do. So that is higher than simply following some moral codes and being a nice person, or in Bharat Varsha, being a Brahmana or following the duty of a Brahmana or Kshatriya. That is all right, but Krishna must be in the center. The Supreme Lord must be in the center. So Bhagavad Gita has these wonderful instructions for our benefit so that we can advance in spiritual life more and more. But then ultimately we have to take shelter of the pure devotee of the Lord, especially who is a devotee of Krishna in Braj and the devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu is the Kali Yuga avatar, and he has established the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names, and he has shown the process by which we can attain Krishna, we can come to the highest stage of pure devotional service. So we should take shelter of the spiritual master Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna to the best of our ability. In the beginning it is not even possible to fully surrender in the conditioned state, but we should try our best to always think of Krishna, speak about Krishna, and engage all our senses in Krishna's service. And then gradually, step by step, we were realizing more our spiritual nature, and then we can ultimately fully surrender to Krishna. So the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is meant to bring us to this highest stage of pure devotional service. So Krishna is most wonderful Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has given these wonderful instructions. And just before this great war between the Kauravas and the Pandavas and so many soldiers, so which had to be so many soldiers, they had to be killed. Hare Krishna, any questions? Yes.
There was one class I heard in Mayapur that Maharaj was saying that all the pujaris who are serving the temple, serving the deities directly, so they have actually gone back to Godhead and they are directly serving Krishna in that regard.
And that is known as Archan Siddhi. If you're worshipping the deities very nicely, then you may attain perfection and realize Krishna's transcendental form as he is. And you may realize your own Swarup. That is also known as Swarup Siddhi, Archan Siddhi or Swarup Siddhi. Realizing your Swarup by properly worshipping the Lord. But that is very rare that one comes to that stage. So there are so many pujaris, and that doesn't mean that all of them will attain perfection and they will go back to Godhead. But those who are very sincere and fortunate, they can attain perfection and they will go and enter the pastimes of Krishna in Braj. But ultimately, every devotee has to become practically like a pujari. So everyone has to have a relationship with the deity first. Because we cannot see Krishna in a conditioned state. So we don't have the exchange. You cannot talk to Krishna. You cannot see him. How we can serve him? So therefore the deities are there. You can see Krishna. You can serve Krishna. You can think about Krishna. So therefore we are supposed to go to the temple every day, morning and evening, so we can see him. We can think about him. And we can offer something to him, especially by glorifying him in the temple. If you go to Mangalati, we chant Mahamantra, evening time also chanting the Mahamantra. So Krishna says, Satadam Kirtayantamam, always chant my name. And Mahaprabhu was saying, especially we should chant the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we should try to understand that we all have to worship Krishna. We all have to do Archan. We may not go directly on the altar, but then we should do at home, or if we are living in the temple as Brahmachari, we have to go to the temple every day and attend the Artik. And then you can pray to the deities also. Please, Krishna, let me become free from lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness. Let me be fully surrendered to you. Please guide me so that I can advance. Please help me so I can serve nicely. And then, of course, the spiritual master is there. So we need the help of the spiritual master. He will guide us. Because in the beginning we may talk to Krishna, we have to, but then we can still not hear Krishna because we are not pure. Then we can speak to the representative, the spiritual master, we can speak to him. And then he will help us. Krishna Kripa Sri Murti, the spiritual master is a merciful manifestation of Krishna. So through him then we can approach Krishna, and then in purified state, then we can actually have the exchange with Krishna. So then we have to practice the personal relationship, personal exchange with Krishna, first in the deity form. And then when you are more advanced, you chant Hare Krishna, then you can see that Krishna is present there. Krishna, Krishna, Nama, no different. And then you can have the exchange. And then you make it become perfect. And then you can enter Krishna's pastimes. So, but the pujari is very fortunate. He's directly able to serve by the mercy of the spiritual master, the deity. So it is easier when you are pujari. Because then there's an exchange there. You're doing some seva. You're serving Krishna. Then he will reciprocate. But still, I mean, we can see practically speaking that not all the pujaris, they are so fortunate that they are able to become perfect. Many they come, but then they have material desires, they become pujari. Even here in Vrindavan, most wonderful place, most wonderful situation. But still, then material desires are their attraction to the material world, and then they want to go to America or England. And they're going. So then, what to do? And they're not becoming perfect. So we try our best to become perfect in one lifetime. We try to become perfect. So trying our best. And hoping for the best. Yeah, and Krishna may do the rest. So we try our best.
Even serving the deities at home, since sometimes we're not able to go to temple.
Yes.
Is it the same as the temple?
Serving the deities at home, it is the same. Krishna at the temple or Krishna at home, same. Yeah. But of course, the deities in the temple, they have a special power. Because, for example, they're installed by a pure devotee. And then the devotees in the temple, there are many devotees and they are serving. Whereas at home is maybe, you know, and then you are there, and then the family is there, and then sometimes engage in social activities. Some friends are coming; they may not be so devoted. But still, Krishna is very merciful, and he is most intelligent, So he wants the brahmacharis and sannyasis to be very strict in the temple and worshipping him nicely. At home, Krishna is more relaxed. Okay, he knows the householders, they cannot get up early if they stay up late. The child is crying, new boy is there in the family crying till 1 o'clock. The mother cannot sleep and the father can also not sleep. Then what to do? Then they cannot get up at 5, then they have to get up at 6. And Krishna understands, no problem, the baby was crying, so he could not get up early to worship me. Krishna is the Supreme Person, most merciful, is most understanding, is most compassionate. So he understands, and therefore then it is different. And then the reciprocation is there, but the main point is that one has to be sincere and serious, and then try one's best. So then the householder gets up a little late, but then he's taking bath and he's worshipping the Lord and he's chanting the holy names, doing the offering. And so Krishna is reciprocating. And then he can also advance. Even as a householder, you can advance, no problem. But difficulties, there are more difficulties as in a household life than as a brahmachari. But problems are there for everyone, even brahmacharis, in the ashram also. Because of the conditioned position and different nature, then one brahmachari is saying something to another one, he doesn't like him, this happens also. Sometimes even fighting with each other. punching each other because they become angry. They cannot control. So they have difficulties also. False ego is there. Difficulties are there. But Brahmacharya Ashram is a little easier, less problems, but problems are there. And usually there's only one problem in life for everyone. That is our own mind. That's the only problem ultimately. If you are positive, if you can control the mind and the senses, then you can be any place, any situation, no problem. But if the mind is not controlled, then disturbed, then you cannot advance. So we try our best, and Krishna is very merciful.
Prabhu?
Yes. Okay, ladies first. Okay?
If you don't have deities,
yes.
I'll be honest.
Yes.
There are people, they are doing with the picture.
Yes.
With the Panchatva, the Guru, Parampara Guru, Prabhupada, and Radha Krishna. What about that compared to the deities?
Yes, you can have pictures also. And it is mentioned in the scriptures, the different forms of the Lord are there. That is, Krishna is explaining to Uddhava in the 11th canto himself. 8 forms of the Lord. So the deities are there, made of metal or wood or stone, but then also painting of the Lord or a photo. That is one manifestation of the Lord. And you can also worship that form of the Lord, and there will be reciprocation. So, but then it depends on you, on the person, on the individual. Yes, we have to approach the Lord, Krishna. Yes, and then there's a reciprocation. Even if you have only pictures, there will be reciprocation. And sometimes you can see, even the Lord is there, and somebody becomes initiated, second initiated, and he becomes pujari. But still, because he may have so many material desires and is not careful, then he will not get the full benefit of even worshipping the Lord. He may commit offenses, and then he cannot advance so much. Whereas somebody just has the pictures but he's trying his best, and then Krishna will reciprocate. Because he's everywhere. He's everywhere, and he can manifest any time and any place. Yes.
I'm not connected to a temple, so unless other people who can come to a temple and see the deities, other people don't have that.
Yes.
So you have to do with what you have.
Yes, yeah. And Krishna is again, he's very merciful, and he sees the endeavor. Bhava grahi janadan. He's accepting the bhav of the devotee, the mood, the effort of the devotee. So we have to try our best to have this relationship with Krishna. The deity form or the picture, you can have the picture, and because ultimately we have to go beyond the external. So the externals are there to help us. But Krishna is not stone, right? It's Sachinanda the Swarup. But because we cannot see, therefore the Achavigra is there, the Murti is there, so we can, the eyes become trained to see Krishna. But after some time, in purified consciousness, the devotee can see Krishna anywhere, any place, and then the reciprocation is there. But it is a help. The deities are the pictures that are a help. So to connect with Krishna, to see Krishna, to serve Krishna, to have the exchange with Krishna. But ultimately we have to go beyond and see the actual form of Krishna, the Satchinananda Swarup. So that even simply by chanting the holy names, then when you are more advanced, then you chant the holy names and you are connected to Krishna. You can see Krishna while you are chanting. And then there is an exchange, Krishna Naam, Naam Prabhu. Krishna Naam, Krishna and Krishna, Naam, they are not different. Naam Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purna, Shuddha, Nitamukta, Abhinatvam, Naame Naaminaha. Krishna, Krishna Naam are not different. So the advanced devotee, they're chanting Mahamantra Hare Krishna, and then they will see Krishna. And Krishna is never alone. He will see Radharani, the gopis. And then there's an exchange simply by chanting the holy names.
One more little question.
Yes.
That is about Bhishma, and it was Kripacharya or Dronacharya, one of those. Anyway, I read, because you said they know Bhishma Devi, Bhishma Dev, and Dronacharya. They know that it was not good.
Three of them, they knew. Dronacharya, Bhishma Dev, and Kripacharya, they all knew that actually Duryodhana is not on the right path.
Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, and that's my question was, what was the reason they didn't support Arjuna? Because then I'm going to tell what I noticed this morning in the Bhagavad Gita. What was the reason that Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya and Kripacharya ultimately they had to do their duty?
Yes.
So I'd like to know what was the very important duty, because Krishna, Lord Krishna, is saying something else. And that's after your answer. What was their duty, reason why they wanted to be born?
Yes, because they were there in Hastinapura, and they were actually the spittle masters of both. They were the spittle master of the Kauravas and the Pandavas, because they were cousins.
Yes.
Right? So they were actually the spittle master of both, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. But they were engaged there in the kingdom as the acharyas, as the teachers. And Bhishma Dev took the vow, I will stay in Hastinapura till the end of my life. So he was dedicated, and Kripacharya and Dronacharya.